You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, welcome to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, now brought to you by Hotels.com. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Ward. It's a pleasure to have you on this weekend with us for part three of the Angels Podcast Summit. I was joined earlier this week by Derek Ciapolla of Talking Halos and Dan Garcia of the All Angels Podcast to put this together. If you listen to the first part over at Talking Halos, we were talking about prospects. The second segment there at the All Angels Podcast, we were talking about free agency. And then this one, we're going to be talking about a little bit of a recap of 2019 as well as what to look forward to in 2020. Now, this episode was pre-recorded, and we'll get to that in a short bit. But first, we got to remind you to follow us on Twitter, at Locked On Angels. You can follow me personally, at Taylor Blake Ward. And don't forget to download today's show or any of the episodes through the Locked On Podcast Network via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Now, like we said, this was pre-recorded, but let's get to you to part three of the Angels Podcast Summit.
Like I said, though, this is a special edition of Locked On Angels. We are doing our Angels Podcast Summit. This is part three of the Angels Podcast Summit. And what this is we're doing a little bit of a roundtable here with the top Angels podcast. And this is with Derek Ciapolla of the All Angels Podcast and Dan Garcia of Talking Halos. And I think I switched that around. Talking Halos. You know what? Hey, that's all right. See, this is what makes us so good is we're so cooperative and we know each other so well. Derek of Talking Halos. Derek, how you doing today, buddy?
Wow. And I'm the one who's up late. You're not even up late. It's me.
No, I'm not. I know.
Total train wreck.
He has a long night left, and he's just kind of starting his night, and this is how it's going.
So. Oh, yeah, geez.
So, Derek, is this your way of saying you're doing pretty all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm good to go. Good to go.
Dan, how you doing? Dan, how you doing? Of the All Angels podcast, Derek, Dan Garcia.
We got it, yeah. No, I'm doing great, man. Doing great. This is a lot of fun. This is great.
I'm glad it's working for you guys. What we're doing here is just a little bit of a roundtable of these three podcasts. Obviously, I'm here with Locked On Angels. Derek is with Talking Halos. Dan is with the All Angels podcast. And kind of what we're doing right now is talking about 2019. I want to ask you guys just a little bit of your opinions of the 2019 season, anything positive to take away from it. I know it was just a horrendous season on field and off field. Dan, do you want to start off here?
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to look at anything kind of positive, obviously, with the announcement last week of Mike Trout winning his third MVP, that's definitely a positive with everything going on. But also for me, kind of seeing some of these younger guys that you've heard come through the system, where it would be Griffin Canning, Luis Renjifo, some of those guys you hear work its way through finally appear with the Angels and for the most part act and do really well. So, you know, like you said, it was a tough season, I think, for the players and the fans alike, and to see something, a glimmer of sunshine somewhere in there, was definitely cool to see.
And Derek, do you want to step in there too?
Yeah, why not? I'll step in it. I kind of think of this season as being a little bit of a showcase in terms of the things that we knew were working in the organization and the things we could find out weren't. In terms of what we're finding working is, I can go back 2-3 years, and with the lack of organizational depth within the organization, minor leaguers weren't coming up and really helping at all. There wasn't anything to rely on. With all the injuries that happened this year, and they had to just pull pretty much Timmy from AAA or Bobby from AA, wherever they had to get anybody to come up, and they actually had guys who contributed. So as much as we trash Billy Epler, not me personally, but we, the fan base, look to trash him. What we're finding out is, you know what? There are some issues in rebuilding the farm system, but there is depth there, and there are guys who are able to make an impact, and we were able to see that in 2019. And we were also able to see just what wasn't working. Kind of find out Brad Ausmus just didn't work, unfortunately.
Now, I'm going to start with Dan here, but I'm going to have Derek answer first. You brought up Mike Trout. Now, 2019 MVP. Do you believe that this was Mike Trout's best season? 2019 was Mike Trout's best season to date. Derek, start us off.
That's difficult for me to answer. I'm not trying to punt on it like a certain somebody has been known to punt in this roundtable. But he had to become a different hitter this year. When you're put in a position where Upton's hurt and LaSalle gets hurt and different situations with the offense is basically dying at some point in the season, he had to become more of a power hitter. He was not the same contact hitter that we're used to seeing. He had to become a power hitter. He had to become the guy who was going to basically try and pick his team on the shoulders. So it's hard for me to gauge that. In terms of leadership, sure, I think this is his best year. In terms of average, we know it wasn't. But across the board, it's a pretty good case. He picked this team up on his shoulders. He did things that just many players can't do. I know that there are folks out there who say, well, he had slumps here and there. Well, that's what happens when you become a power hitter. When you become a power hitter, you're not going to be as consistent because you're trying to hit the ball out almost every time they come to the plate. So, you know, I'd say probably, yeah.
And Dan?
Yeah, I mean, you see the numbers he put up without playing a full season. He only played in 134 games, but still able to put up 45 home runs. It's hard to say it's not, considering what could have been. I guess it's probably the only reason why you said you would argue the fact that it wasn't his best season because of the limited games. But, I mean, this guy was just unbelievable for the Angels, kind of doing everything they needed him to do on and off the field, especially with everything that the team had to go through this season. But, yeah, I would say it is, but if somebody were to tell me you need to play a little bit more games for it to be a quote-unquote your best season ever, I wouldn't argue that fact either.
Fair enough. Now, 2019 saw one of the worst moments in Angels history with Tyler Skaggs' pass. What do you think we have beyond this? Do you think that this is the ultimate low of what we've seen when it comes to the Angels, or do you think that there's a point of moving past this? Dan, why don't you lead us off there?
You know, it's hard to think that anything would be lower than this. I'm going to say this is probably what you would call rock bottom. The surprise of it, him, Skaggs being so young and the way it happened and kind of the details you're finding out now slowly, isn't a great look for the organization or anything like that. So that's definitely a part of it. But, you know, you just hope that the team can rebound from this and take the right steps accordingly and take the next steps forward and grow from it and build, you know, hopefully this next season can be something that now the fans can actually cheer for and get behind and not forget what happened, but obviously be happy and you know, cause, man, with between Skaggs, Aiden Hart, Valbuena, it just seems like this organization just seems kind of snake bitten at times, and hopefully the fans will have something to cheer for coming up with this next season. I cannot see it being any worse than what had happened this last year.
But it can
and Derek. Yeah, Derek,
it can
if
be
you
worse.
Don't mind.
It can be worse. And what I mean by that is just the reports that are coming out, the ESPN report saying five Angels. And it was very vague on past or present. We don't know. We don't know if Eric Kay's comments to the DEA were accurate or not in terms of who heard. It could be over. This could be it. Or it could be there could be more shoes to drop. And so I'm hesitant to just forget about it. You can't forget about it. I'm hesitant to simply just say, no, this is the rock bottom, because it can get worse. What if this is the beginning, there was more going on in the organization that even upper management didn't know about, that was something that was player-based? Those are all what-ifs that I can't imagine would be true, but you know what, in a game where we've had all kinds of levels of stuff over a year where you have human beings involved, you never know. I'm going to choose for the time being to say, for now, it's rock bottom, but it could get worse.
Now, I just want to ask this. I'm going to ask one more, and then we're going to head to a short break. And once again, as you're tuning in, this is the Angels Podcast Summit, part 3 of 3 with Derek C. Apollo of Talking Halos and Dan Garcia of the All Angels podcast, along with myself, Taylor Blake Ward, here at Locked On Angels. I want to ask you guys for your opinion of the Angels pitcher of the year for 2019 and the player of the year for 2019. And just to make this a little bit more intriguing, Mike Trout cannot be one of your answers. So I'm going to start off here with Derek.
Oh, yeah.
I cheap shot at both of you guys, but I want to hear opinions beyond Mike Trout, and it has nothing to do with Mike Trout, but it's so easy. He's the best player in baseball. How can he was MVP. I mean, Derek, go ahead and lead us off.
Gosh, you had to throw that totally at me. You know, if we're gonna go pitcher of the year. Wow. I'm just seeing a big, big, big set of train lights heading right at me. You know, I'm going to go Hansel Robles. That's who I'm going to roll with. He had a couple moments this year where he struggled, but overall he was the most consistent reliever we had. He's pretty much all you could rely on all year long to at least have a 90% chance of putting on a good performance. I think, sadly, that it would have been Tyler Skaggs that he stayed, had he stayed with us, because he was, to me, seeming to come around. He was evening out, and it's unfortunate that way, but I'm going to go with Hans Robles. In terms of player of the year,
not named Mike Trout.
Not named Mike Trout. David Fletcher.
Ooh.
And then go with David Fletcher. I'd stay with him. You know, that's not the power numbers. He just was consistent. He was hardworking. He put it all out there, every game out. And there were several just critical hits throughout the year that made a difference. And, I mean, Shohei Ohtani had some up moments and some really bad down moments. And Justin Upton never got healthy. And Calhoun just was, in terms of defense, great. In terms of hitting, hits home runs, great. Couldn't hit for average. I just, overall consistency, I'm going to go with Dale Fletcher.
Okay. And Dan, do you agree? Do you change? How do you do this?
And it's funny that you said that, too, because I was so ready to answer this question, because actually on our podcast, we have like an end-of-the-year awards that we do also. And our stipulation this year was also MVP, not named Mike Trout. So I've had this question already, but going with that one first, actually mine was David Fletcher as well, because looking at, like Derek says, consistency, but not only that, but the ability to play third, shortstop, second, outfield. I mean, he was all over the place, and he did a really good job at all those positions defensively. You know, you look at some of his, obviously his power numbers aren't going to be there, but that's not what you ask him to do. You're not asking him to hit 30 home runs a year. So for what the Angels asked him to do offensively and defensively, I think he did a great, great job. So he was our, or mine. Johnny had, I wish I could save the notes, but he was my MVP, not named Mike Trout. And as far as pitcher of the year, I was the same way too. I agree. Hansel Robles, not only the kind of the guy coming out of nowhere, getting picked up off of waivers the year before, you know, struggling that, from what I remember, struggling at the end of the 2018 season, but then coming in this season and really making that closing spot his after everything that happened with Cody Allen. And not to mention his entrance at home games was awesome. For anyone that's been the Angel saying this last year, I mean, how can you not love an entrance where that has the Undertaker theme music and a white horse galloping in fields? How can you not enjoy that as an Angel fan?
I love it that you guys kind of came together on that. When I was going through this question, I started thinking to myself, I'm like, who are mine? And I sat there and I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'd probably pick Hansel Robles and David Fletcher. So I'm going to switch it around. Felix Pena. I think that he really didn't get the recognition that he deserved this year. He came out, pitched to such a high capability in such big games for the Angels, and I really do wonder what, you know, could have been with a full season there. Another guy that I think, just if he could have had a full season, Tommy La Stella. You know, two weeks into the season, people are like, yeah, cut this guy, he's terrible, and suddenly he's an all-star. And, you know, at a point, he was the best second baseman in all of baseball. Just, I mean, you know, by the measurements, by analytics, things like this. But to me, Tommy La Stella's season really went ignored, and he was an all-star. I mean, how can you ignore that? But, yeah, David Fletcher. I mean, the consistency, the versatility, the talent on both sides of the ball, have to really agree with that. So, hey, guys, we got to take a short break. You guys mind staying on?
Let's do it.
Friendly reminder, today's show is brought to you by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own through Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. We'll return shortly with more Locked On Angels right after a quick word from our sponsors.
Welcome back to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, now brought to you by Hotels.com. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Ward, as well as Derek C. Apollo of Talking Halos and Dan Garcia of the All Angels Podcast. This is the Angels Podcast Summit, part 3 of 3. It's basically a roundtable from the Angels Podcast around the board. If you don't already know about Derek over at Talking Halos and his group, and Dan over at All Angels Podcast, definitely check them out. We'll make sure that they're able to tell you where to follow them at the end of this podcast. But, guys, I want to ask you about 2020. We talked about 2019 to start the show off in the first segment. Here in the second segment, I want to talk about 2020. Let's start with kind of the first move of the offseason and Joe Maddon. What do you think that Joe Maddon can bring to this Angels team in 2020? And, heck, whoever wants to start, go on ahead.
Dan, you want this one?
Yeah, I'll take it, no problem. You know, Joe Maddon coming home, you know, everyone would like to say coming home, spending so much time in the organization before leaving for Tampa Bay and then obviously the Cubs. You know, I think it's cool to see him kind of come full circle with an organization that he started with. You know, the managing style is going to be something interesting I want to see. Had great, you know, success with the Cubs and with Tampa Bay. But at the end of the day, I think it still comes down to players and who the Angels sign in free agency. But I think Maddon will give this team a kind of a jolt of energy that didn't seem like it was really there at times with Epler and everything going on. So that, looking forward, it would be something I'm really interested in seeing.
I think Joe Maddon coming back gives them, you know, a true figurehead, somebody who is the captain of the ship, somebody they know has been there and done the organization, somebody who they can trust as a face of an organization in terms of a manager after a season when, you know, some really bad things happened. I think he's good overall just with his attitude for at least 5 wins. Easy. Just him being there. So I kind of just view Joe Maddon as, you know, Mr. Angel. I mean, point Mike Socha, but he was there before Mike Socha was. This is what he means to the organization, and it's kind of a shame that it's taken this long to get him back to the organization. So, I mean, I got to be honest, I wasn't real keen on Joe Maddon at first. I didn't know how a Maddon-Epler team would work. But as time went on, and given the situation the team was in at the time as well, it's right. I think it's a big deal for them to have Joe Maddon there.
The one thing I was interested in when I heard the press conference, I'm kind of interested in what you guys think, is the fact that, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here because I don't have the exact quotes in front of me, but something along the lines that he doesn't really believe in rules and he lets the players police themselves. And from people that I've talked to that, you know, have podcasts or cover the Cubs, that was kind of what, I don't want to say their downfall because they still won a bunch of games, but, you know, after the World Series, those younger guys didn't come across as hungry, as determined to get out there and maybe take some extra BP or take extra grounders. How do you feel about that whole quote unquote, like no rules, let the locker room police themselves kind of deal?
Derek, I'll take this one if you don't mind. And then if you want to jump in.
Sure.
This do nothing approach, he kind of calls it a do nothing approach when it comes to this. He allows the players, he tells the players, he says, look, I know that you know what it takes for you to get ready for the game. So you're going to see guys, you know, you're not going to see them go out and take BP every single day because that's not a mandatory thing. But you're also going to see, you know, does Mike Trout need the extra reps in BP? Sure. So he might go to the tunnel and do it independently, or he might go out on the field and do it. But you're not going to see everybody going out and taking extra reps. At the same time, if someone comes to Joe Maddon and says, look, I have not played third base or shortstop or whatever it is well this year, and I need you to help me out, or I need someone to help me out. You know, a catcher comes up and says, look, Jose needs to help me out here because I can't block these balls that that maybe Garrett Cole is throwing. Who knows? You know, then Joe's not going to say, no, I'm not doing it. Have someone else do it. Obviously, Joe's going to step in and do these things. I think a big problem when it came to Chicago is a little bit of who was in that organization at the time. You look at some of these guys that came into the organization, and I don't want to, you know, pick on anyone, but there are people in that organization who had criminal records with them that came along with them. There's guys that came along being known as lazy players. And now you have to look at this clubhouse and say, you know what? Hey, look, Albert Pujols is in here, and Albert Pujols is going to tell everybody they got to bust their ass. And that's just the way it's going to be. So I don't think that you're going to see a problem with it, but you know, there is obvious room for concern, which I understand here, Dan. Derek, do you have anything to add on that?
It just depends on the makeup of the roster overall. When you have a certain set of personalities there, who do you have? Are you bringing the kind of people who are self-starters, the people who are willing to look at their entire performance and be disciplined enough to go out there and fix what's broken? If you have those kind of players, the kind of people who aren't going to get apathetic, then you're fine. If you're going to be part of an organization where apathy comes in or player personalities aren't set to be disciplined and self-starters, then you're going to have problems. And I think that became more evident when Chicago, as players moved in and out, as they're trying to go for one more World Series. That kind of managing style is not going to work long-term. I'm not worried right now. I think this team's moving towards a youth movement overall, usually with a couple of veterans there who are kind of guiding these youth. They tend to be people who are going to work hard. I think if he's there long term, the question will be, will the Angels become more, I guess the word settled? Will it become complacent? I think it's more of a long term. I think you'll see this team work hard this year. I think you'll see him work hard for a couple of years. It's 2, 3, 4 years on the road that I'd be concerned with.
I think that's very reasonable. So let's move on to this question here, and I think it's just kind of an important one. A lot of injuries once again in 2019, but a very key and vital player was out for a large part of the season. I want your guys' opinions on Justin Upton and what you guys expect him to do in 2020. And let's start off with Dan here.
Yeah, I think health played a huge factor in it. Like, obviously, getting that turf toe injury at Angel Stadium against the Dodgers, three days before opening day was huge. Not really, and even then before that, he didn't have a whole lot of at-bats at spring training, nursing back injuries. If he can get back into the normal flow, have a spring training, have kind of an injury-free offseason to where he can work out and stuff like that, I think he can come back and obviously not be the Upton of yesteryear or anything, but I think he could still be a very reliable outfielder right now. And you know, we talked on a previous episode about some of the outfield depth, but you know, those guys might not be ready yet, but Upton can definitely still play outfield. He's definitely hit. He can definitely be you know, a serviceable guy and someone that can definitely add some pop to that lineup when he's healthy. I just think this last year from wasn't a good measurement of what he is at this age or this part of his career, just because of the injuries seem to take, you know, most of that time that he needs to kind of get going.
I think a lot of people don't really understand what a turf toe injury does to your lower body in terms of how you're going to swing a bat, how you're going to move in the outfield. It sounds small. It's just your toe. Well, that toe is the base of everything you're doing. And so if it never got better, which it probably didn't, it probably wasn't 100% the whole year, add in compensation for the rest of your lower body, and all of a sudden he's out again in, you know, September. I don't know what to expect from him. And the reason why is because you're starting to get to that age where you start seeing decline. So it's not a question of if he's going to decline. It's a question of when. And the timing is perfect for him to start declining because you've already had the injury. You could very easily see the body starting to react adversely to the recovery process. So I don't know what to expect. I really don't know what to expect overall from Upton. I think we'll find out fairly quickly entering next season. Will he come in right away and be horrible for a couple months, or will you see him come out of it? Will we see him mentally be there? He's seemed frustrated for much of the year with his own body. Short answer is, I hate to say it, I don't know.
I think that's fair. See, for me, it was a mechanical issue. He's coming down on the ball. He didn't really have his initial swing. And the place where you correct that is in spring training. So for him, with his rehab, it was only, a week? And then he was suddenly on the major league club. I think that he needed an extra week, maybe even more than that. It just shows how important spring training is. And just if he can fix those mechanical issues, I think that he's a hitter that's capable of putting up very high-end, all-star-like offensive output. So I do want to ask here, I've only kind of got room for two or three questions here, so if we can make them short. Let's start with Shohei Ohtani. What do you expect from Shohei Ohtani in 2020? And Derek, let's start with you.
I expect a lot of, that's the magic question for me. That's the question you got me on, because what I expect from him is a lot of people eyeballing him, everything he does. Every single move he makes, every little time he frowns or has, an itch or something doesn't look right on him, they're going to go, is he hurt? Is he hurt? Is he hurt? I can tell you this. I'm concerned about Shohei Ohtani overall. He's young. He has his dream of being a two-way player. He's been given the opportunity to do that with the Angels. That's why he chose the Angels, that they were open to this and going for it. My question overall, though, is in pursuing two sports the way he is, not two sports, two positions, sorry, is he sacrificing being better at one over the other? Or is he sacrificing being good at, at one to try and be good, to be decent at both? And I don't know. I mean, watching him hit last year, sometimes his swing is beautiful and sometimes his swing is, dare I say, appalling. And how does it translate over to him now trying to pitch once a week? Well, I guess they'll put him back on a Sunday rotation because he's four. So with Ohtani, I don't know what to expect. I'm saying I don't know a lot because those are the key question marks that to me mark whether or not the Angels team will be good next year or not. It's not just going out there and getting a couple pitchers in free agency or whatever. It's now about the guys you got, are they going to be as good as you hope they will be? So I hate saying, I don't know, it's like I'm punting. But with Ohtani, the talent's there, but there's only 24 hours in a day, there's only 7 days in a week, and there's only so much time you have to apply your craft. And if you're coming back from a major injury and you're trying to be good at what you do, it's hard to say that he'll be successful doing both. So I don't know.
I think, honestly, it's going to remind me of when his first season with the Angels as far as the anticipation because, he's pitching on Sunday. I was like, got to get to the TV and see what he does. I think as far as like the fan aspect, that's what's going to feel like, oh, he's pitching on Sunday or he's pitching on Monday or whatever. People are going to be racing to the stadium, racing to the TVs to see it. I expect some kind of a pitch count, obviously coming back from Tommy John, but we can't forget this guy is only 25 years old. I mean, even if he was a one-way player, I don't think he'd be developed fully yet at either one of the positions. So, I expect to at least take another step forward in his at the plate and kind of, hopefully not overdo it too much on the pitching aspect of it and have him on some kind of innings count. And, Angel fans are used to any pitcher when they cringe a little bit or look uncomfortable, doesn't matter if it's Shohei Ohtani or whoever, they're always, oh, okay, now he's injured. Oh, what's going on now? So I don't think that's going to be anything – specific to Ohtani, but I do expect some kind of, hey, he's pitching Sunday, everyone get to the TV, everyone get to the stadium, and that kind of hype, at least through the fans, him coming back this year, trying to do both.
All right, so I want to ask one more question to both of you, and obviously, we don't know. There's still an entire winter left for the Angels to make moves, so there's still some room. So I'm not going to ask you what you think of what the Angels' odds are of anything in 2020, but I do want to ask this. What is the primary storyline for 2020 when it comes to the Angels? And whoever wants to take it first can take it.
I'll go. I think it's, does the pitching reach that next level? Does that pitching finally take that next step, whether it be through free agencies, whether it be through, you know, guys just developing and having good seasons? Does that pitching finally catch up with Mike Trout and is able to help him get to the playoffs for, you know, would be the only second time in his career? I think that's going to be obviously everyone's be looking at that. You know, if they sign Gerrit Cole, you know, does he perform back home? Does, you know, does this pitching able to take this team to the next level?
I'm going to go a little bigger scope. Has this organization finally turned a corner? And what I mean by that is for the last 5 years now almost, Billy Epler has been rebuilding this farm system and basically on the fly, okay? And they've had to adopt a different personality, a different different view of building a baseball team, increasing the uses of analytics to changing philosophies with base running across the board. It's just, are they ready now to turn a corner and be a contender or not? And that's my big question. All the changes they've made, all the different things they've tried out, all the different development they've done, are they finally there or are we stuck waiting longer? That's the big question for me.
I love it, guys. Hey, once again, this is the Angels Podcast Summit, part 3 of 3. Obviously, I'm here, Taylor Blake Ward with Locked On Angels, but I got to ask, and Derek, I'm going to start with you. Derek Ciapolla of Talking Halos, where can our listeners find you and follow your work?
And they can find me personally at DCiapolla on Twitter. You can also find our podcast Twitter at Talking Halos. We're also on Facebook, Talking Halos, just pretty simple stuff. We're always there, causing hate and discontent.
And Dan Garcia of the All Angels Podcast, where can our listeners follow your work?
Yeah, our All Angels Podcast is pretty much anywhere you can get this podcast. I'm talking about, you know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, iHeartRadio, all over there, download. We have some interviews from the past, some younger players coming up. That's pretty cool. But you can also reach us at our Twitter and our Instagram in the exact same handle, Halo_Haven. So, you know, we're always on there posting stuff. Our Instagram is a little more of the nostalgic kind of stuff that we find through yard sales and swap meets and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool too. But yeah, Halo_Haven for our social media. And then anywhere you find this podcast, you can find the All Angels Podcast.
Guys, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you for being a part of this series. I know that your listeners, Dan and Derek, both all of our listeners coming together and hearing this are really excited about this. So thank you again for doing this. And then anything that you guys want to say here, open platform.
I got open thanks. Platform.
Open crap. Platform. Yep.
Thanks for the time. This is a lot of fun. This is a, Always fun sitting around talking with guys about Angels baseball. Nothing wrong with that at all.
My open platform comment is, stealing from Jared over our show, spend early, spend often. Let's do it.
Love it, guys. Love it. Thanks again, boys.
Once again, that was the Angels Podcast Summit, part 3 of 3. It was great to join in with Derek Ciapolla of Talking Halos and Dan Garcia of the All Angels Podcast. Now, a lot of times, you know, you see other podcasts that are involved with yourself that talk about the same kind of things that you do. And obviously, Dan and the All Angels Podcast and Derek with his group over at Talking Halos talk about the Angels. And sometimes people view that as competition, but we view it as camaraderie. These guys are great friends of mine. I love these guys to death. And it was fantastic being able to join forces with these guys and get this episode out there for you. You want to check out part one, head over to Talking Halos. You want to check out part two, head over to the All Angels Podcast. And obviously, you listen to part 3 just right here. So thanks again for tuning in. That's always we have for today's show. A reminder to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Angels. You will be a part of our Sunday night Twitter question answer. You can follow me personally at Taylor Blake Ward on Twitter. Look for that tweet about 9 p.m. Pacific time saying send me any and all your baseball questions or answer them here through midnight. Best ones make the show on Tuesday. So watch for that on Sunday night. Watch for the show on Tuesday afternoon. Reminder to not only follow us on Twitter, of course, but also to download and subscribe to today's show via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Also, a reminder that today's show is brought to you by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own through Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. Thanks again for tuning in. For Locked On Angels, I'm Taylor Blake Ward saying stay nasty, Anaheim. We'll see you soon.